Welcome to episode 4 of the Slouching Towards Thatcham podcast, which aims to showcase the work of some of the best parent bloggers around. Hi, I'm Tim from the blog Slouching Towards Thatcham, which charts the ups and downs of life as a 21st century father of three. Every week on the podcast, I'll feature a guest blogger who will introduce and read one of their favourite posts for your listening pleasure, and I'll do the same with one of mine. It's as simple as that. Bite-sized chunks of blogging brilliance. This week, I'm delighted to be joined by stay-at-home father of two, John, from Dad Blog UK. You may be familiar with John from both his blog and also his ever-increasing portfolio of appearances in TV, radio, and print media. These days, he's so ubiquitous, he puts Chris Evans to shame. Hi, John.
Hello there. That's quite an introduction, Tim, but thank you very much.
Not at all. So why don't you just start by telling us a little bit about yourself and the blog?
Okay, well, I am, as you rightly said, a stay-at-home father to two daughters. That's Helen, who is 6, and Elizabeth, who is 2, but rapidly approaching her third birthday. I've been a stay-at-home dad, or the kids' main carer, since 2011. And I started blogging about being the main carer for my kids in 2012. So I launched dadblogUK.com, and I was inspired to do it because, you know, I had a number of negative experiences as my kids' main carer. You know, society isn't always very accepting or welcoming of guys in my position. And over time, you know, I have broadened my blogging interests. I'm now vlogging a bit as well. I write for a number of different publications. I do make money from blogging and writing, I should add as well. So my blogging interests, as I say, have broadened, but at the core of what I do remains fatherhood issues and highlighting the issues that fathers do come across as parents.
That's great. Now, could you just give us a little background to the post you've chosen to read today?
Oh, certainly, yes. So this is one of my more light-hearted posts. You know, I do... from time to time, because I was originally a journalist, and I do sometimes approach my blogging that way. I do quite often write about, quite hard-hitting fatherhood issues, such as, alienation, what fathers can do to promote positive body image amongst their children, so the negative experiences that stay-at-home fathers can have. But I always think it's actually very important to sort of balance this and just write stuff from the heart that just shows that, you know, dads really do have these normal day-to-day experiences with their kids. And this particular post was inspired by a visit to the dentist. Now, my eldest daughter, thankfully, has always been quite keen to go to the dentist. And we had a checkup booked at the same time, on the same day. And she basically ran riot at the dentist, and it was hilarious, and I just had to write about it afterwards.
Okay, so now I'll hand you over to John, reading his post, Fun at the Dentist.
Thanks, Tim. Okay, Fun at the Dentist. I often find the most enjoyable moments with my children come entirely unexpectedly. I had one such moment the other day in the dentist surgery, of all places. I'd booked a checkup for our eldest daughter, Helen, and I. Our baby daughter, Elizabeth, was too young for a checkup, so she sat in the corner and stared in wonderment at all that was going on around her. To my great surprise, the little one didn't even jump or flinch when Big Sister sent a high-pressure jet of water streaming past her head, but more about that in a moment. Helen had been quite excited about this appointment. She wanted two things. Firstly, a sticker proclaiming she'd been to the dentist, and secondly, to get sat in the dentist's chair and to get lifted up and up. Now, Helen was seen first, so both her wishes were granted very quickly. The dentist proclaimed there were no signs of decay and that she had a good set of teeth. This was a very pleasing moment. I always get paranoid that we don't get Helen to brush her teeth for long enough, or that she consistently misses patches when brushing. So being told that all was in order was a relief. With Helen's teeth inspected, the dentist's visit descended into a delightful comedic scene. She asked for a pink drink, and a glass of mouthwash was duly provided. I told her not to swallow and to spit it into the bowl. She followed my instructions enthusiastically. About a third of the mouthwash actually ended up in the bowl, while the remainder was accidentally spat with some force across the floor. Thankfully, the dentist and dental nurse saw the funny side, and Helen was given a Disney Princess sticker regardless of the puddle of mouthwash lying at her feet. Little did I realise the fun had only just begun. It was now my turn to sit in the chair, and it was duly lifted into position so the dentist could get to work. The children were both silent, and I was feeling quite relaxed. All of a sudden, however, a familiar face appeared over my left shoulder. My daughter had decided to have a look in Daddy's mouth. What else could the dentist do but ask her to join in? So they both had a good look at my teeth. Eventually, my checkup was complete and the dentist delivered his verdict. I would require two fillings. This wasn't the news I needed, but my immediate concern was Helen, who was now wielding one of the dentist's tools and mucking about with a foot pedal that controlled goodness knows what. What happens if I press this button, she asked, while playing with a tool that I couldn't name. To my great surprise, the unflappable dentist replied, "Go on, give it a try." Now, Helen was only too happy to do so. It turned out the tool in question was an air hose. Anyone with sensitive teeth will recognise this device, as a shot of air to the right tooth can give you quite a wake-up call. Now, having discovered what the tool did, Helen promptly used it to blast air into a set of model teeth the dentist gave her. She then asked if she could blast air into my mouth. I couldn't say no, and so I got on my knees and allowed a four-year-old to blast cold air across all of my teeth, the look on her face one of intense concentration. By now, the dental nurse was in hysterics. It was obvious the job wasn't usually this unpredictable. Her laughter was a tad premature because yet another mess was about to be deposited on the floor that would be her job to clean up. Now, this tool that Helen was holding had two buttons. Having discovered what one did, she now wanted to see what the other, small metal tab, would do. "Daddy, what does this other button do?" I wanted to tell her it was time to leave. I was about to say something, but the dentist answered for me. "Go on, press it and see what happens." Now, my daughter was only too happy to comply. It turned out to be a high-pressure water jet. Okay, yes, it was a small high-pressure water jet, but it still had the force to send water flying halfway across the room. Water was now hurtling towards Elizabeth. Amazingly, it missed, and she just sat in her seat, oblivious to all the commotion, and continued to play with a tube of toothpaste that she'd somehow gotten hold of. Now, the dental nurse was once again in fits of giggles, the paper mask across her face doing nothing to hide this fact. The claw was wet, but the dentist was amused. It turned out he had a couple of young children, so he's clearly used to this pandemonium. I was very grateful for his approach. The last thing I wanted was for my children to fear the dentist. He clearly understood this and was quite happy to let Helen have some fun while she was, effectively, in his care. I very much doubt I'll have too much trouble getting her to go along to the dentist next time she has a checkup in January. Wish me luck.
Thanks, John. That was certainly a much more entertaining trip to the dentist than any of the ones I've experienced recently. But how great that your dentist made the effort to set your daughter's mind at ease for the future. Thanks for joining me on this week's podcast, John. It's been a pleasure to have you here.
No, thanks, Tim. It's been great. Great to be here. Great to read that post again. I just hope your listeners like it and that they'll come back to hear some other bloggers another time.
If you want to read more of John's writing, go to his blog DadBlogUK at dadbloguk.com or follow him on Twitter at DadBlogUK. I'll attach links to John's blog and Twitter and to the post he's just read on the show notes over on slouchingtowardsthatcham.com. We've just heard John talk about the unexpected fun of a trip to the dentist. So for my post this week, I've picked one called When Little Days Are the Best Days, which is all about the fun that I had with Isaac and Toby just by having a day out locally without spending a penny. When little days are the best days. Ah, the summer holidays. Sometimes we get so obsessed with planning ever more elaborate and expensive days out that we forget that bigger isn't always better. Unless it's a treat for me, in which case bigger is always better. With Cara still in preschool for the duration, I'm taking a day a week off over the summer holidays to spend with Isaac and Toby. Last week's grand day out saw us venturing no more than 1.5 miles from our house, but we all agreed at the end of it that it had been one of our favourite days ever. There are apparently 15 outdoor play areas in Thatcham. The boys hatched a plan for us to visit as many of these as possible in a single day, carefully plotting out the optimum route to take in some of their favourite playgrounds. Jokingly, we called it the Tour de Thatcham. And so the three of us set off mid-morning on Friday, the boys on their bikes, and me on foot, carrying a backpack laden with a picnic lunch, drinks, and enough snacks to keep two bottomless pits well fed on an energetic day out. We didn't come close to managing all 15, but over the course of an 8-kilometre circuit, we did visit 5. Not too shabby, I think. Stopping for a quick play and a nibble at each one. It's interesting how much variation you get from one play area to another. A couple were fairly basic slide, swings, random climbing thingy affairs, but the two where we spent the longest are genuinely excellent. One has a big variety of play equipment, as well as a selection of gym-style machines that kids can experiment with. The boys' favourite, however, has a load of stuff that's suitable for older kids too, including a small zip line and a funky seesaw that rotates through 360 degrees, as well as going up and down. In total, we were out for nearly 5 hours on a sunny and warm, but not too warm day. The boys had the opportunity to go out on a long bike ride and to dictate the flow of events. While we're often out at various play areas at weekends, it's rare for us to have an open-ended day such as this, where there's no time limit and no other tasks to complete while we're out and about. It makes a big difference. All three of us had a wonderfully relaxed and fun day, even though we didn't go anywhere new and didn't spend a penny, other than a bag of cookies I bought the boys as a treat. It just goes to show, doesn't it? Sometimes all we need to give our children is the gift of time. It may seem like a small thing, but it's often the only thing that really matters. And that's it for this episode of the Slouching Towards Thatcham podcast. If you'd like to listen to future or previous episodes, you'll find them published on the blog and also on iTunes and various other podcasting sites. You can follow me on the blog at slouchingtowardsthatcham.com, on Twitter at ThatchamDad, and also on various other social media channels. You'll find links to all of the above, plus John's links, in the show notes on the blog. All that remains for me is to say thank you all for listening to this podcast, and hopefully you'll join me again next week. Until then, goodbye.